This is our Truth in 10 segment where Pastor Mark answers your prophecy or Bible questions in 10 minutes or less. Our next question, Pastor Mark, is from Josh. And Josh says, I want to ask your thoughts on predestination and whether or not you lean more towards Calvinism or Arminianism and why. Also, do you think this topic of discussion is important in the church?
Let me answer the second part first.
Okay.
Again, thank you, Josh. I do think it's important in the church, but I think we need to be careful. I think it's a very important subject. It has to be addressed, but we also want to be careful that we don't cause unnecessary division. It's interesting. You have the Calvinists and the Arminians and all that, and at Calvary Chapel, you kind of find that where our position traditionally has been is a little bit of both. We kind of see a little bit of both, but can't really adhere to either. And so we've jokingly called ourselves Calminians, kind of as this mixture of both. But I do think it's an important subject, and I'll address it this way. I don't think we should head out and start a war. For example, I don't think the Calvinists should go out and start attacking everybody that's not a Calvinist. I think that's going to cause division in the church. And I've seen some of that, and that causes concern for me because I don't think that it's not a salvation issue. And so therefore, we talk about the hills to die on. You've got the things that are worth fighting for, and it's all worth fighting for, but things that are worth like just losing everything for and then not losing everything for. This is not a salvation issue. If you don't believe in Calvinism or you do, it's not going to determine whether or not you go to heaven. That's going to be your commitment to Jesus Christ. So I don't think there should be the attack coming in that direction. But I would also say that I think we have to be very careful for those who don't lean toward Calvinism, that there's not an attack on Calvinism either, simply just to attack it because it causes division. I think the key is to address these issues biblically as you come to them. And, as much as God talks about it, I think we should be talking about it. And I do want to say this. First of all, on predestination, The Bible very clearly teaches predestination, but that doesn't in any way reinforce Calvinism. Predestination is something that God does and could easily do and still give man a choice. And what do I mean by that? Well, if God knows in advance who's going to choose him and who's not, all he has to do is predestine those he knows will choose him. And then when they follow through and choose him, he predestined and they chose. He's still sovereign, and he gave man a choice. And I lean toward man having a choice. Why? Because all through the Bible, we see that God gives man a choice. Look, this began in the garden. In the Garden of Eden, he gave the two trees. You can eat of one or the other. I'm telling you not to eat this one, but I'm not stopping you. You have the free will to do that. So you make your choice. And of course, they made their own choice. And we see free will all through the Bible. Again, God challenges them in the wilderness when they come out of Egypt and says, choose this day whom you will serve. Well, if there's no opportunity to choose, as Calvinism would teach, if there's no opportunity to choose, well, then why did God say that? Is God playing a game with them? Is God being dishonest? I mean, I don't think either of those are true. So I have to conclude, based on the character of God as I know him from Scripture, that we have a choice. And you see all through the Bible a choice. Jesus, when the rich man came to Jesus, he said, go and sell all that you have and follow me. And the rich man had a choice to sell all that he had and follow Jesus or to not sell all that he had and not follow Jesus. And sadly, he chose to not sell all that he had and not follow Jesus, at least at that point. We don't know ultimately what he did, but that's what he chose then. And so we see the Lord gave him a choice. And so choice is all through the Bible. Now, I want to add something else to this, Josh. I guess if you say which one I lean, I definitely would not, lean toward Calvinism or call myself a Calvinist. But I don't consider myself an Arminianist either. I really just consider myself, and I don't mean to sound trite when I say this, I'm just a Christian. And I just believe the Bible for what it says straight up. And I see, some elements that they hold to in their points of Calvinism. I see that in Scripture, but as a whole, I can't adhere to it doctrinally. But I do see a choice, and that's the big stumbling block for me is I see that choice. And God not only talks about choice in Scripture and lines it out in Scripture, what I've noticed about God is that he does, and this is in multiple areas, he built into the Jewish culture his truths. I mean, it's just all through the Bible. You'll just see the truths built into the culture. And God did that because he not only wanted to say it in word, he wanted it lived out through his people, and it was. Let me give you one very classic example of of why I can't adhere to the Calvinistic side. In the marriage, just briefly about the marriage in that day, here's what would happen. In the marriages of that day, built into the culture, again, which I think is a picture that God built in, it was predetermined sometimes before the child was even born. You talk about predestination. It was predestined for that child, for my child to marry your child, for example. They would actually arrange the marriages in advance. We can see the same example here of the bride of Christ being arranged in advance, predestined to marry Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So the fathers, interestingly enough, they would predestine their children to be married before the children even knew what was going on, and oftentimes even, as I said, before they were born. And then when they came to marriable age, they would have the ceremony where they'd come together and say, all right, son, you know, this is the one that I chose for you. Here's your bride. And now they would come to this point where he would come to ask the bride, and he would go to the bride and he would offer the bride in the public square. They'd have witnesses and everything. He would give the bride a cup of wine, and he would offer her the wine saying, will you marry me? And so as he handed her the wine, it was asking, would you marry me? And what she did with that wine determined whether what was predestined was going to happen or not. She now had a choice, and she could override that predestination of the dad if she pushed that wine glass back and said, no, I'm not going to marry you. And that happened historically. If she did that, of course, it'd be very sad and be a horrible day for the groom if he loved her. But she was given the choice till the last moment to accept or reject. If she rejected, that preordained or predestined marriage was off. It was done. So in that situation, and of course, if she took the wine and drank it, it was good. And I'm not going on all the things with marriage. I'll just say this. I think even built into the Jewish wedding, God gave a picture of what he's done with his wedding with the bride of Christ and Jesus Christ. The father determined, I want you to marry my son prior to even birth, but he's still given us a choice. So that when it comes to that day where the Lord hands the cup to us and says, will you drink of my bride, so to speak, which was a picture really of the Last Supper as he gave that to the disciples. You know, we can push that cup back and say, no, I don't want to do this. And so it doesn't take away from God's sovereignty, but it allows mankind to have the freedom of choice in what has been preordained, if you will. And I'll give you one other quick example of that, then, because I don't want to belabor it too long. But I think about, you remember when Abraham sent his servant to go and get a bride for Jacob. And he goes to get the bride, or for Isaac, rather, I'm sorry, goes to get the bride for Isaac, and they find, of course, Rebekah, and they say, hey, we're family, and they sent, here's the gifts, I'm asking for her hand, and again, they were eating and drinking together, you know, again, they, and when they said, okay, we'll do it, the family agreed, the family said, yes, we'll let her marry you, and all this going on, but they said something very interesting, although we've now agreed as fathers, okay, Laban being the father, you know, in that sense of watching over the family. And then, of course, the representative for Abraham coming there, they agreed. They called her in the room. And they said to her, they said, so will you go with this man? Because he asked, he finally just said, hey, I need to know. You've kept me here 5 days. I need to get back to my master and take his bride back. Are you going to let me have her as a bride? They said, yes, we agree as families. We agree as fathers that this is ordained. We'll do this. We'll let this happen. But let's ask the bride. They brought the bride in, and she had the final say. If she had said, no, I don't want to marry him, it would have been called off. And she would not have gone to go back and marry Isaac. But instead, she said, yes, I will go, and I will marry him. So all through the Bible, we see choice. All through the Bible, we see the example of even in marriage that it's preordained, and yet the bride still has the option to say no. And I think the same thing is true today. I think that God has seen those who will choose him. I believe he then predestined them before we were born, and then we find out when we get older and make that choice whether or not we're going to be one that says yes or one that says no, but we still had that freedom of choice. And I'll add this one last thing. I keep saying last thing, but this one last thing. Let me just make this point, Josh. Love without a choice is not love. If you are forced to marry someone, or you are forced to make a decision, then that's not love. Love is when you choose to reciprocate. You choose to say, yes, you love me, I love you in return. And what reward would it be for Jesus if all of us were forced due to predestination that we're all forced to accept Jesus as Lord. I mean, if you think about that, he would never really know, do you love me because you love me? Or did I make you love me? Now, he would know the answer to that. We would never know. And I would know, I have to say, we're made in his image, which means we should have some of the same thoughts. I would say for me, I would never be satisfied with a bride, temporarily or eternally, that I thought had to love me because I made that decision for her before she ever had a chance to make any decision on her own. No, I want her to be free and look at me and say, yes, I choose to love you. And I say yes to this proposal. So I hope that answers your question, and that's where I stand on it.
And Pastor Mark, I'll add this too, and for you, Josh, and for those that are listening. The biblical precept that God does not contradict himself. So if we understand that and allow Scripture to interpret Scripture and take God's word from an exegetical point of view, which means, you know, we're just going to take what God's word says and not take it out of context— when we take a look at the verses the Arminian, that the Calvinist stands on, those verses are true. They're not taken out of context. When we look at the verses the Arminianist uses, those verses are true. They're not taken out of context. The biblical precept that God does not contradict himself is true. So how can both of these verses that seem so diametrically opposed to one another, that causes such conflict, if we approach it exegetically, then we take away the I'm right and you're wrong, but God, where are you bringing the balance in? Where are you making these things come together? And we believe that scripturally, one of the best places where it comes together is out of the words of Jesus himself in John chapter 15, when he's talking about the parable of the vine and the branches.
That's right.
And when you read the words of Jesus, there's lots of ifs. There's lots of conditional statements that Jesus is making and saying, if you abide, these things happen. If you don't abide, these things happen. And so Jesus himself is indicating that you can't lose your salvation, but you can leave your salvation. You have a choice.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. And that's a great way to end that. I remember Pastor Chuck used to say, you know, because the word abide means to stay in. It literally means remain in. Well, you can't be in the Lord. If he's the vine or the branches, you can't be in him unless you've been born again, because none of us are born in the Lord. We have to be born again to be in the Lord. So once we're a branch, that means we are born again, we're in him. So it's interesting for him to say, as long as you stay in me, you'll have eternal life. If you don't stay in me, you won't. And that may make some people upset, but that's simply what the Lord said. And they try to say that by cutting off the branch is a pruning. I've never cut a branch off that got healthier. It died. So he's very clear, and he says those branches will be thrown into the fire. So here's the answer I really love, and I think Pastor Chuck summed it up the best for me when I heard him say this. He said, look, for those who say, you know, you can't leave your salvation or you can leave your salvation, he agreed, you can't lose it. But he, you know, the Bible doesn't say you can't leave it. And he would say, for those who say that, look, just abide and it's never an issue. Just abide. Don't ever, just, if you just abide, you don't have to even worry what the answer to the question is. Just abide. And for those who would say, yeah, but once you've tasted God's glory, you could never leave. You could never walk away. Once you've seen his glory, once you've tasted it. Well, my answer to that is simply this. Ask the fallen angels.
Yeah.
They saw his glory. They were saved. They were in his kingdom. They were a part of it. He called them sons of God. But when they chose to rebel, he kicked them out eternally. And now they'll never have another opportunity to re-enter that kingdom. So I think, you know, if nothing else, there should be enough fear in our hearts to not take that chance. We may get to heaven and find out, you know what? I'm completely wrong and all this whole viewpoint, whatever. Fine.
Not a salvation issue.
Right. But here's the thing. This should put enough fear in our hearts to say, I'm not going to take a chance. I think I'll just remain and abide. Because everybody wants to say, you know, can you leave your salvation? Can you not? Again, I get back to that simple answer. Just abide. Mm-hmm. If you abide, it is a non-issue.
It's all
and oftentimes,
care.
Greg, I found the people that are asking that question, they're looking for an out because there's a temptation to sin. They're thinking about, well, if I sin and I can't ever, you know, be removed from heaven, then maybe I can dabble in this some, right? But you don't need to dabble with it. It's, you know, that those of you that are old enough remember W.C. Fields, and they said he was not a believer, but when he was dying, he had a Bible reading it at his bed, and somebody asked him, said, W.C., why are you reading the Bible? He said, looking for loopholes. You know, and we laugh about that, but they're you know, again, the idea is we shouldn't be looking for loopholes.
Yeah.
We just need to be saying, you know what, I'm not going to take any chances.
Yeah.
Because man is flawed. I could be wrong. Others could be wrong. Just abide. It is a non-issue if you abide. And when we get to the kingdom, we're going to find out.
That's it. Great questions. Thank you, guys. If you've got a question like Josh and like Jason did today, we invite you to visit thewaymedia.net. Click Signs of the Times. Don't go anywhere else. Just click Signs of the Times and go to Ask a Prophecy Question, and we'll make sure to get it on our next broadcast.